like you to turn, first of all, to John 8 in your Bible. John 8. When you find John 8, would you put a bookmark there so you can turn to it quickly when we come to that passage? The other passage is Luke 4, please, in your Bibles. Luke 4. And turn to that passage. It'll be a little while before we get there, to Luke 4. I ask you to pray through the requests in the vine. Note with joy that we received over $2,700 that we're going to be sending off to our missionaries, or maybe that's already been sent. Has it already been sent to our missionaries? Yeah, it's already been sent to our missionaries. The missionary Christmas offering. Advent season is here. 2012.
Wow.
You're getting older, Luke. It's 2012 already. Advent season is here. Christmas is coming. Bah, humbug. Says Ebenezer Scrooge. You know, Charles Dickens' story written in 1843 has appeared in all kinds of different ways and different films. We watched it this last week in a new film that we had not seen, an anime film, and it was very, very powerful. The story of Ebenezer Scrooge, bah humbug, you know, he goes around spreading his Christmas sneer everywhere he goes. No singing, no feasting, no Christmas greetings, none of that caroling, and certainly no gifts for the poor for Ebenezer Scrooge. Bah, humbug. For Scrooge, it's just a time for finding yourself another year older and not one penny richer. No gifts for him, no celebration, none of this talk. It's a waste of time. Bah, humbug. You know, now we're not like Scrooge, hopefully, but I wonder if some of that humbug spirit might creep its way into our hearts too. You know, oh, Christmas is so much work, so much effort, so much time, so expensive. I wish that Christmas would just go away. You ever feel that way? That might be the humbug spirit. Well, if it is, I'm glad you're here this morning because we want to think about Advent and Christmas joy and the significance of the season. You may remember, we saw it portrayed powerfully as we watched the film this last week, that as Ebenezer Scrooge came home to his home on Christmas Eve, he saw a ghost. And it was terrifying. It was the ghost of Jacob Marley. Jacob Marley, his partner in his firm, had died 7 years before. And now Jacob Marley came back. And the appearance of this former partner was frightening. Marley was condemned to roam the world and to see all the suffering of the world and never to be able to relieve any of that suffering. And Marley was condemned to carry around these chains, terrible, long, heavy chains, which were the chains that he had forged in life. You know, there were attached to them cash boxes and padlocks and ledgers and deeds and all the things, you know, cash and commerce that had occupied him in life. Now he dragged around with him everywhere he went, and he could not escape it. Marley said to Scrooge, "I wear the chain I forged in life. I made this chain link by link, and now I must wear it." You know, this portrait or this portrayal in Dickens' book reminds us of the law of the harvest in the Bible. The Bible talks about this. we read in Galatians, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. This is actually something that appears again and again in the Bible. Back in the book of Hosea, we read those famous words, they sow the wind and reap the whirlwind. We reap what we sow. They sow the wind and reap the whirlwind. Now, this is not a law of karma. This is not some, you know, universal, impersonal law of cause and effect that is in Hinduism. It's not that at all. It is a personal God who holds us personally accountable. I mean, we make choices in life, and life accumulates, and choices become habits, and habits can become chains. And this God, God over all, holds us accountable for the choices that we make in life. Well, what about us? What about us? Have we formed chains that we're carrying around? Some people carry the chain of past sin and guilt, and they drag it along. Shame of some sin I committed in the past. Some people carry around the chain of addiction. Some people carry around the chain of anger and bitterness. That person did that to me all that time ago, and I'm going to carry that chain. And they drag it along with them right into Christmas, and they're dragging the chain. You know, sometimes it just becomes a chain of materialism. You know, we want more and better stuff, and so we buy too much. And we get the chain of debt.
The bills come in January, don't they?
When we buy too much. You know, unwittingly, we may actually forge chains for our kids, too. If we become too indulgent, you know, don't have the discipline to say no or not now or let's wait for another time, we can forge a chain for them because their expectations become too high and unrealistic, and they become chained to that. Instead of focusing on Christ, they focus on gifts at Christmas. Well, the law of harvest leaves us little hope. No hope. We sow, we reap. And we get these chains. And we don't want to be chained. We want to be free. We want to be free. And, you know, we cannot free ourselves. We cannot break those bonds ourselves. We need a deliverer. We need Christ, the Savior. Our hope is in Advent, in Christ's coming. Christ comes to liberate us from our chains and make us free. You know, in Dickens' story, Marley was condemned to drag those chains around forever. He never could be free, forever. It's a powerful and terrible picture of hell. Certainly, sin brings terrible consequences, but God sent his Son to rescue us from those consequences. We read in the New Testament the astonishing words, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and lived for a while among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." Do you remember when Jesus began his ministry? He went to the synagogue at Nazareth, and he rose to read, and they gave to him the scroll of Isaiah. Isaiah is a powerful prophecy. And he unrolled it to the place where we read in chapter 61 of Isaiah. This is what he read. This is in Luke 4. Look at your passage now in Luke 4, verse 18. This is what Jesus read. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners. Now, there's the phrase I want you to take a special note of. Freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Jesus came to bring us freedom. This is such good news. He came to free us. You know, it's December. It's Advent season. As we anticipate Christmas this year, let's allow the Lord Jesus Christ in his great power to break the chains and to free us, to liberate us from chains that may bind us. You know, Christmas is not about expensive gifts. It's not about that. Well, we give gifts, we exchange gifts in celebration of the fact that God gave his Son. But it's not about expensive gifts. Christmas is about Christ, and we must focus on him. And let's help our kids to focus on Christ as well. His birth, his coming, he is Christmas. Just yesterday, we were down at the Arrowhead bookstore down in Binghamton, and we bought a little book for Olive. Olive is our granddaughter, Jared and Jocelyn, you don't know. She's our granddaughter. And we bought a little book for a little two-year-olds, talking about why the tree, why the gifts, why the cookies, why all these things. But at the end, it tells us why. It tells our little granddaughter that it's all about Jesus. It's about his birth. It's about Bethlehem. It's about Mary and Joseph and the baby. That's what Christmas is about. When our kids were little, what we did is we made a birthday cake. You know, for our kids, birthdays and birthday cakes always went together. And so Barb made a birthday cake, candles. And on Christmas Eve, we sang, "Happy Birthday, Dear Jesus." And she didn't do that because we needed more sweets around the house. We didn't need that. But in order to help our kids know what we're doing here, this is about Jesus. It was an effort, an attempt. I mean, you know, you see those eyes getting bigger and you think they're just getting bigger for the cake. But at least we're attempting to focus on Jesus. But I remember one year I went out and found I couldn't find one. I was looking for a nativity set where the baby could be removed from the manger. I couldn't find one. I went to various stores and could never find one. And one of the senior members of our church there in Buffalo heard that I was looking for one, and so she gave us her nativity set. It was, we still have it, and we still use it every year. What we did that year is we set up the nativity set with the manger, but with no baby. And we put next to it a little cup or a little jar with little pieces of paper that we had cut as pieces of straw. And we said to Jonathan and Rachel, every time you do something, every act of kindness, or every time you obey your mom or your dad, you know, you can put a little piece of straw in the manger. And that way we're going to prepare a warm bed for the Lord Jesus by our acts of kindness and love. Well, they did that. And then on Christmas morning, baby Jesus was in the bed that they had helped to prepare. We were trying to focus on the point, Jesus is the reason for the season. Yesterday, in the bookstore, there was a man there holding up a sign. You know, Jesus is the reason for the season. And that's what we're trying to focus on. And that's what we all must do. Jesus, the Son of God, has come for us all. Look, turn to that John 8 passage just for a moment. John 8. We're interrupting a conversation between Jesus and the Jews of Jerusalem, but the point is made even though we interrupt the context, and I want you to follow as I begin reading in John 8, verse 30. Even as he spoke, many put their faith in him. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants, and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free?" Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to the family forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." You know, the Jews objected to this talk, saying, "We are not slaves. How dare you suggest that we need to be liberated?" And Jesus explained that he was talking about a slavery much more profound than they were realizing. Everyone who practices sin is a slave of sin, and we are all in that bondage. The chains, the bonds are real for us all, and we all need the liberation that comes through the salvation that Christ came to bring. My theme this morning is simple. Christ comes to free us from chains that bind us as slaves to sin. That's why he came. This morning I want to conclude with a story about a Civil War slave auction. During the Civil War, a young Polynesian woman was being sold at auction in New Orleans. I want you to just put yourself into that position. I want you to imagine yourself on an auction block. I want you to feel the chains and the shame of knowing that your freedom has been taken from you. You are a slave and you are being sold. Well, there was this woman, this Polynesian young woman was being sold at auction. And there was a wealthy plantation owner that was going by in his carriage. He pulled his horse short and stopped, got out of the carriage, and joined in the bidding. The young woman was a beautiful young woman, and the bidding quickly went up. At first, hundreds of dollars and then thousands of dollars, but this stranger who had stopped prevailed. He kept bidding, and he bought the girl. As he received the deed and the key, he went over to her, and she spat on him. And he took the key, unlocked the chain, unlocked the lock, and the chains fell off, and she cursed him angrily and vehemently, this man who had bought her. Then he said to her, "Woman, you are free. Here is the certificate of your manumission, your freedom. You're free." He gave her the certificate, and then he turned and began to walk back to his carriage. She held the piece of paper in her hand. She was astonished. What did he say? All of that money that he paid, and I'm holding this certificate in my hand? And then she was running. She ran after him, fell on his knee, on her knees, and caught him. And she said, Sir, I want to serve you. I want to be your slave. Please let me be your servant." And he said to her, "No, You cannot be my servant. But he said, you can come if you want to. You can come into my home as my adopted daughter. And so she got into the carriage with him, and they drove off together, her head held high. That's a little picture of what Christ has done for me and for you through his death and resurrection. He has liberated me from my chains and you. Except the price he paid, no matter how much this plantation owner paid, thousands, Christ paid infinitely more. Not with silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ have you been redeemed. I urge you at this Christmas season to join me on your knees before the Savior. Give yourself to him in a new way. Give yourself to him again in a fresh way. Lord, 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 I want to be your slave. Let's bow together.